Good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is Sexendipity. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman, and I have wonderful guests in the studio. Why don't you start?
My name is David Corrado, and I'm a stand-up comic, and sitting to my right is Dark Mark, the goth comedian.
That sounded a lot like an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, but...
oh, my God.
My name is Dark Mark, and I am a Dr. Limoraholic, and...
well, who isn't?
So, yes, but I am Dark Mark. I am the host of the Dark Mark Show here at Skid Row Studios.
Yes.
8 to 9 every Thursday. Dr. Limor was my guest.
Of course. And every one of my listeners, or rather viewers, know of it and know of you.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I just heard you on the previous show.
I was just on Daily's Dark Side, which is another great show here at Skid Row Studios. All those shows in Skid Row Studios are different and fantastic.
Fantastic.
It's a little bit incestuous with the interplay between all these different shows.
Isn't that right? Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever.
No, they say incest is best.
Incest is best. And, yes, and we haven't had David on our show yet, but he will be on the show.
I know, of course. So it's so great to have you. Thank you so much.
I am so glad that you had me on, and this is a long time coming because I remember when you were on my show.
Yeah,
it was so much fun.
It was.
And
so
I've been
much
looking
fun.
Forward to seeing you again.
I know.
And you wore
so
your
glad.
Short shorts and your tight shirt just for me. Well, it is kind of hot out there, and I worry.
It's ridiculously hot. It doesn't matter. I was saying to Jenny that I'm wearing like a side boob shirt, and it's like I'm still hot.
Well, first off, side boob is always hot.
Yes.
But and almost every shirt that you wear is a side boob shirt.
Yeah, no, but this one is in particular. It's specifically one of these shirts.
It's difficult for me to keep my eyes on your beautiful green eyes when I'm speaking with you.
It always is.
What's with the ball up there?
What's with the balls under the desk?
Yeah, I know, on top. So yeah, so what's going on? Tell me, how have you been?
Things have been very good. Actually, it's interesting because I knew I was coming on Sexendipity today.
Yeah.
So I actually had sex last night.
Oh really?
My God, that's
with
crazy.
A young lady, and it was because I had to do some research.
Is this a one-timer or?
I don't think so, because we actually and that's part of what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
Because we had a lot of sex.
Okay. What's a lot?
Like numbers?
Like hours?
No, like what's a lot? Like in terms of duration?
Hours,
or?
Yeah. I mean, it was about 5 or 6 hours, but it wasn't all sex. There was a lot of cuddling.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's lovely.
That's good.
It's lovely, but.
But?
She's she has a man.
Okay. She's involved.
B, she has other lovers.
Okay.
But
she's not monogamous.
She's not. But she told me that this is the longest she's ever been naked with a man.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I love being naked all the time. That's my natural condition.
We could try to break that record if you would like.
No, but seriously, I think it's the most, obviously the most natural way to be. And if I was, to pick that... I would have chosen to just be naked and, all the time.
Well, interesting because I talked to Jeremy at Skid Row Studios and he said it is okay to do the show naked. He doesn't...
Yeah, I've heard it from him many times.
I'm sure you have.
Take your clothes off, Mark. Let's see what's going on.
If you insist, David.
So,
David has to be fully clothed.
I know.
You know what's funny? Let me tell you something about Dark Mark.
Yeah.
He does my show. I do a show in a church basement on Fridays, and this guy is a total professional. This guy works... He can work squeaky clean and be funny and get laughs.
Thank you, David.
And he can do this show and talk about sexual matters and be candid and frank and, and let everything loose.
Yeah.
So he's just funny. He's a comedian.
Thank you, David. I appreciate the compliment.
Both
I can
are
do
wonderful.
I can do clean and dirty comedy. A lot of people don't believe me, and a lot of people don't believe that I do your show. It's funny because I don't get booked for a lot of clean stuff because people think that I can't do it, but I can.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a different skill set. Different skill set.
Well, it was funny. I was in New York and I was doing a lot of like really rough Long Island gigs.
Yeah.
When I first moved to New York, and a guy's like, "I got a gig, but I don't think you can do it." I'm like, "Well, tell
Why?
Me, I can do
because
it
because it's clean."
Yeah. He's like, "It was at a coffee shop / ice cream store."
Oh.
And they had little
there were kids.
There were kids there.
Huh.
And I was the only one that was completely clean. Nobody else, like everybody else slipped
that's,
up.
That's a good talent.
And two, there was a family there that had like two little kids. And they started coming back every week specifically for me because they thought I was the funniest.
Wow. That is incredible and impressive because to be honest, I am not able to do this. I'm usually really, I'm it's hard for me to kind of screen things and not, you know, be okay. Just as explicit as I like to be. What were you going to say, David?
Well, it's like I kind of, I had no choice. I mean, my natural, talking, sex is such an important part. Sex is the beginning of life. I mean, you obviously. Know, it's like, it's, and everyone thinks about it all the time. And to try to edit yourself and not talk about it, it takes a real discipline. And you know, comedians like Jerry Seinfeld, let's say.
Yeah.
It. You know, they kind of consider it a special kind of skill to be able to be funny and not talk about sex.
Right.
Yeah. But
it's a different kind of comedy. Yeah, I agree. I do appreciate people that are able to do this. I'm not a comedian, obviously, but I find it hard. My audience could never be underage.
Exactly. My audience either. You've seen my show.
It's really not really in there. But I before, and I want to go back to your session last night.
I do too.
Because I'm really interested in hearing about it.
I like to go back.
I'm sure. In time, yes.
It was good.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Some people, you know, when you get chemistry with somebody and it's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Have I met this girl?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not clear if you guys are going to have it again because she's
involved. No. She said, yeah, definitely.
But
here's the thing. This is what my confusion is, and this is why I need to talk to a sexologist.
Yes.
So obviously, since there was a lot of cuddling and a lot of it was
lovemaking.
It was a lot of lovemaking,
intimacy,
fucking.
Yeah, it was more intimate than I had expected.
Okay.
Because I knew the situation. I knew she was involved. I knew she had other lovers, but it turned out to be more intimate than either one of us were expecting.
Okay. Oh.
So is that a good thing or a bad thing, or how should I proceed?
Well, it's always a good thing because it means that there's a better connection there. Mm-hmm. If it's only fucking, usually, you know, if there's no emotional contact, right. Even on a basis of a first time, mm-hmm. then it's only fucking and there's really no, and you can feel it. I mean, anybody can feel it. Both parties mm-hmm. can feel it. As soon as you go in bed, you get in bed, you realize if there's a connection, or it could be animalistic and it can be just carnal.
Right.
But it can be also intimate. And if it is intimate, it means that there is some sort of a connection that can be prolonged, that can be, you know, take place more repeatedly and it depends on, you know, both parties, what they bring into it. Now you say that she's involved and also that she's not monogamous.
Right.
Depends how you kind of, it fits in your life.
Hmm. It fits perfectly in my life because that's the alternative is, back to the Vaseline. So it fits perfectly with my life. But it's I don't want to complicate her life. I was under the impression this is basically somebody I met last year, and they told me they were involved, so I gave up. But apparently, she liked me the whole time, and she said.
And she contacted you.
Well, we came
across each other.
Well, she said I'm going to be at this goth club. So are you going to be there? So I was like, wow, that's interesting. Hmm. And then I saw her, and she's like, my man can't satisfy me. I'm like, well, I bet I could. And then
I have the solution for that.
And so then we hooked up. And like I say, I was expecting it to be more carnal and less emotional, but it was both.
Really?
That's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. Because the carnal part is sometimes it doesn't happen either, but mostly it's easy to get. Mostly it's easy for most people, it's easy to get once you get in bed. But the emotional and the intimate part is not necessarily taking place. And you come across many encounters that are so great in terms of an orgasm.
Right.
But not anything else. And you kind of, you're done.
Another orgasm.
I have never been with somebody who was in a relationship before. But isn't there like a fear factor that this guy's going to come after you?
No. I had I shouldn't say this. It's something I shouldn't admit, but I have done this before. I actually fell in love with I fell in love with a married woman. Her marriage was ending, and we went out for a couple of years, and
their relationship was long.
The relationship was long, and then
you're a gigolo.
I guess you could say that, but. Eventually, it was weird because she cheated on me with her husband, which was very strange. So,
it's not. It makes sense.
Because at the end, it fell apart. But we're still good friends to this day.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Now, let me If I can, let me get into the mechanics of sex.
Please. Yes.
Because this is another thing. And I told her, by the way, just lest people think I'm talking out of school, I told her I would be asking you questions.
Oh, definitely.
And these specific questions.
Okay.
So she told me that, and she said, don't take this personally. First off, I started out with oral and was complimented on my technique. Which has happened before.
Good cunnilingus.
Okay. All right. I've been complimented on that before. It's interesting because the vagina, every vagina is different.
Absolutely.
Some women respond to cunnilingus. Some people respond to fingers. And some people respond to different things with cunnilingus.
I think all women respond to cunnilingus if there's a good connection between the lovers.
Well, I've had women that cunnilingus and cunnilingus wasn't enough. They needed more.
They needed harder. Right.
It was too soft. They needed the fingers because it was a little harder thing. So I've had that. So here's the thing. So she said she liked the cunnilingus.
Did she climax?
Well, this is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that she has never climaxed
with a man, period. Okay.
So you conquered that barrier.
No, I did not.
Okay.
I did not, but it was the first time, and I made it clear. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
And can you vouch for this?
Yes.
It's very rare on the first time. You have to really know the body well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's happened on the first time. I'm saying.
Do you want me to analyze it and say?
Please analyze.
Okay.
And say.
Yes. So the thing is, in general, women, and it's very unfortunate, but most women don't climax via coitus at all.
Really?
Right.
I'm aware of that.
In very high percentages. So it's, I don't know, close to
And if they do, there's usually some sort of clitoral stimulation along
right,
with
there
the coitus.
Right, if it's only penetrative, if it's only just regular intercourse and just penis inside a vagina, no other alternatives, then it's very rare.
What's so funny?
I'm thinking of my own jokes inside my head.
I'm giving the whole, you're thinking of your own jokes about it?
But
the thing is really, I just want to say that in general, women don't tend to climax via only vaginal, regular sex. So either if they do, eventually during the intercourse itself, during the encounter, it's either because there was a very prolonged foreplay, or while the man is inside the woman, there's some sort of stimulation. Or, for instance, the best way for a woman to climax is via even, intercourse, is the woman on top position. Because she can get a friction of her clit, over the guy's body. And so it's much easier to do it this way.
And I found when you have a woman bent over and you can stimulate the
clit that way.
Or if you're on the side, or she's on the side, kind of a side system.
And she can touch it too. And you can stimulate her. Comfortability.
Then that will work. But yeah, usually our mighty penises are not the.
No, and it doesn't matter the size. And I want to get to a study that I've come across.
Right.
But it is, and it's very interesting because guys are so consumed with the size of their penis.
The shape, though, is another thing.
Yes.
Because I've gotten compliments on the shape. It's like I don't have any pictures with me, but my parents are going to listen to this, but the shape of my, I've got kind of like a mushroom thing at the, it's like
you're circumcised.
I'm circumcised. Okay. That was what we did back when I was born.
No, because in general in this country, most men are. Okay.
So like I've been complimented on there's like a rim, like, that kind of like gives
a nice
clitoral stimulation.
The head is longer than the shaft.
I've gotten compliments. I'm Irish. I'm not packing,
I'm not packing.
But in Israel, they don't circumcise. They do circumcise. What am I thinking? Yeah,
Jews always circumcise.
Yeah, what am I thinking?
Yes.
But
in general, in Western societies, most men are circumcised for medical reasons, not necessarily religious reasons.
Healthy, hygiene.
Foreskin has, encompasses many problems, and it usually attracts a lot of STDs, and it really is much harder to keep clean when you have a foreskin.
Well, I suppose there's got to be some kind of reason why they came up with circumcision, because it seems like anti-intuitive to cut off a part of your skin on your dick.
Well, I'm not going to go into the religious reasons, but in general, it's just healthier. for this reason that I just exemplified.
Well, it's the same reason that the Jewish people stopped eating pork, because they were getting sick from trichinosis.
It all has a rational explanation. But in general, as I said, not even for religious reasons, men have the tendency, you know, most societies prefer circumcision because it's just healthier, because it just is less problems. Even though there are men in this country and, of course, out of this country that are not circumcised, and a lot of women that prefer it, you know, the uncut men.
Oh. What do you prefer?
I'm going to avoid talking about myself.
I can read her mind. She's into uncut men. I can tell. I can see it.
Of course you can see it. How can you see it?
I've got
you
ESP.
My shirt.
Yes, yeah. it's written on your side boob.
Right, I know. It says
Well, actually, you could write that.
I'm sorry, you like cut men. I'm sorry. That's what you like.
Oh, so you corrected it. Okay.
Yes. I was just...
she's got some medical data that she wants to come across.
Yes, no, because exactly. I want to talk about this whole idea that men are so obsessed with the size of their penis. And honestly, women care much less about that, because as we said...
Depends on the woman,
but in general, I'm not talking about a micro penis. I'm talking about something average. Yes, because,
You're talking on the wrong show.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the micro penis.
I don't
penis.
Have that, by the way.
Yes, because that, you know,
I'm
could be a problem.
Average.
But in general, women have really not such an infatuation with the whole idea of size. There are women that are size queens, but since... women don't climax via just intercourse. Mainly, of course, it's important for the guy to have a reasonable sized penis and an erection and all of the above. But in general, it's not the most important thing. And there was a recent thing that was released. It's a device called Andropenis. It's an Australian device that is supposed to enlarge the penis. Now, what it does, they vouch for, and listen to this, 1.5 inches longer and half an inch bigger girth. That's what they promise. Well, but what you need to do for that is to use that really kind of scary device that I've seen. I don't have a picture of it, but it's really kind of intimidating. And you have to use it for 6 hours a day for 6 months.
Is it like a vacuum cleaner? Is it really?
That's a lot of.
How do you feel about it?
Is it a suction? Well, what is it?
It's not a suction. It really is something that you kind of dress your penis with, and kind of literally stretch it.
Right.
You stretch the skin. Now I'm gonna get to the results of that, because a certain physician in Italy took it into test and really kind of testing and tried it and saw, you know, the results with his sample. But what do you think? I mean, would that be something that you would ever consider using?
No,
I
mean, not me personally. I mean that sounds dangerous. They've got vacuum things that have been advertised in the back pages of pornographic magazines.
There are a lot of men that would.
Penis pumps is what they're called.
Yes.
And you can't deny that a man with a large penis tends to be more confident than a man with an average size penis or
that
even a small
true.
Penis.
That is true, because of society. Mm-hmm. In this society, in this day and age, and I want to say that in antiquity, a large penis was considered animalistic and wrong.
Wrong?
Yes. Just wrong. In I'm talking about Greek and Roman Empire.
Sure.
Big breasts and big penises were out.
Well, good thing that we're in this society.
Yes, so I'm happy. But in general, yes, everything that was oversized was not acceptable. The ideal was small breasts, small perky breasts, and small penis. The preference was the size of a boy.
Okay, well, in that case, then I'm not going to get that. I'm going to invest in a time machine. I'll go back to ancient Greece and ancient Rome.
But I'm saying exactly that. What do you think? Do you know the average size of a penis?
I think it's between 5 and 6 inches, and I'm somewhere in
placid
that area.
Placid or
erect. But you know, like the penis of a razorback gorilla, which is like a 400 or 500 pound animal, is like only like 1 or 2 inches.
Yes. It's different. Humans, there's a whole evolutionary explanation.
They believe that the penis on a human male grew to attract women. The same way, probably, you know.
Well, there are a few explanations that have to do with conception and a lot of other reasons. But what do you think, Mark?
I'm going to defer to you. You have the data right there. I'm not going to venture a guess.
I'm going to take Tim in a minute.
Tim.
But yeah, we have Tim, and I really want to hear his.
Have you heard Tim?
I really want to hear what
he has to say. But yes, it's very true that, you know, the average penis is between. My heel is the size of an average penis, the heel that I'm wearing today.
Five and six?
Is between 5.5 inches.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that size of a penis. And, you know,
but the penises are girthier.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I have a decent girth. So.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Ladies out there listening.
Listening. Pay attention.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the thing is, but with this device, urologists said that they don't advertise it and they don't really support using it for anybody that has 3 inches and above.
Hmm.
And 3 inches is kind of small if you take it into consideration when I'm talking about an erect penis.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'll give you the information when it comes to what were the results, but I'm going to leave you I'm going to leave you with something that the men that were pursuing this procedure or treatment were suffering from something called penile dysmorphophobia.
You know, the way I see it is like once I'm naked in front of a girl, it's going to have, you know, unless she
so
really...
So you don't suffer from it?
No, because look, you know, once it's a done deal, I figure. I mean, look, if she wants me to leave, I'll leave. But I doubt
once
it's
you're
gonna,
naked with a woman.
Yeah,
in
it's
bed,
like once I got my clothes
she's
off.
Leave.
Yeah, she's not gonna say your penis
okay,
is too
I
small.
To
goodbye.
Go.
There's
Even
the door.
I came across men that were too in doubt, and I had to run to the car and leave.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Why it would never work out between me and Dr. Lamar.
Okay.
Or maybe it would. I don't know.
Let me take Tim. Tim, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hey,
good.
Tim.
How are you?
You cannot fuck with 3 inches of cock. I'll tell you that right now. It
you
is
can't?
So useless.
Oh.
I had a 5-inch cock in
yes.
my ass. It was a transgender girl.
Yes.
And she could barely make it happen.
Really? So, 5 inches was not good in your ass?
There's not enough length for stroke. I mean, you can get a real small... And I have a small ass.
It depends
so
on
if
your
I had
ass,
a big yeah. ass...
Thanks for sharing.
Forget,
this guy's
well,
pretty open,
nice
I'll
ass,
tell
but it is small.
So you think that a 5 inches penis is too small in general?
Here's a quote I wrote.
Yes.
I have no problem with a small cock. Just keep it away from my mouth.
Okay. Let me write that down.
Noted.
That would be I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
Oh my god. Yeah. So yeah,
that's
so, yeah.
copywritten. No
I'm sure it is.
As far as I'm concerned,
yeah.
I girth.
Yeah.
And confidence with a big cock. I've got a 7-inch cock, average thickness.
Ooh. Yes.
And so I don't have a giant cock.
No.
And I am hugely confident. And here's something that's funny. That guy that I
No, but you,
I told
you are very
you about,
kindly sized, so you shouldn't be out of confidence when it comes to that,
oh, yeah.
obviously.
Well,
okay?
That's true.
You're
yes.
above average.
Yeah,
oh,
you
yeah,
are
yeah,
above
yeah,
average.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
All right, okay. So,
yeah.
But I was with this guy for a while who had an 8-inch cock and thick, it was like a wrist.
Wow.
This guy was so squirrely and so up. I'll tell you though, I've seen cocks that would, you almost want to call suicide hotline. They're so depressing to see.
Oh.
Like 1 inch, a
oh,
one
really?
Inch.
No,
I'm not
That's
kidding.
Small.
A
no.
one, a you one
didn't
to
come
two
across
inch cock.
A 1-inch cock.
Erect.
One guy. It was just a head.
No.
Oh,
what did you do? Did you run for the hills?
Well. No, it wasn't a physical thing. It was while I was. I used to do massage while
oh,
I was in college.
Oh, okay.
I see.
So you didn't come across him as a potential. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even bother. There's nothing to stroke.
Yeah.
And
partner,
use two fingers.
It's so sad.
Dave seems to know about this.
It's sad.
Yeah, I've heard stories from you.
You know, so this is what I'm saying. That the dysmorphophobia. This situation where someone is uncomfortable with a certain part of their body, and when it comes to this, it's a penile situation. But I find it very sad, and a lot of doctors would recommend actually any sort of treatment just for the psychological aspect of it.
Well, I will tell you, it's funny you should mention it, Dr. Lamour. Yeah. And I'm an average size guy, yes. You know, but you know, with society, with porno movies, with
right,
with you know, I thought I was small.
Yeah.
And I had somebody look at my penis, tell me it was perfectly shaped, but didn't comment on the size until I had a girlfriend, mm-hmm. and I was, you know, I was a little inexperienced as well. And I remember I was making some joke about the size of my penis, and she's like, "You're not small."
Yeah. So she kind of reassured you.
She reassured me, so
that's terrific, because it is true that in this society, which we're like, what we're exposed to mm-hmm. is really not the norm. I mean, if we watch porn and that this size of breasts or this size of a penis.
We watch Sexindipity and we assume.
Yes, also.
That every woman has as well endowed as Dr. Lamour.
So, yeah, so we get the wrong messages from just media and other.
Wrong?
Yeah, because in general, you know, we not everybody is built this way, and it shouldn't be. I mean, honestly, it's not necessary. I have to say that a penis that is larger than what you just mentioned, I don't know, 7,
you would head for
that
hills.
Matter, is really could be for women very uncomfortable.
But Tim made a great point that the confidence.
You adapt. Your pussy
no,
stretches.
No, that is not
your
true.
Your bottom stretches.
It doesn't matter because it could be very uncomfortable. I'm talking from a woman's point of view. It could be very uncomfortable, and every encounter could be like a fucking hassle. I'm sorry. You have to like grab all the lube like certain positions. It can be really a task, and
it's a personal
fun.
Thing. You're right. Yeah. It's a very personal thing.
Right.
Some women like getting hammered like that with something that is oversized, and others just prefer your regular size cock.
I saw a cartoon in Playboy magazine, which is, you know, doing research for this show. I've watched I've read it.
He does extensive research.
Yes.
There was a cartoon where this groupie is sitting in front of an NFL player, and he's an African American man. He large, you know, broad, and she's like. She's looking at like what he's packing, and she's like, "I think I'm going to go back to being a rock groupie."
Because it could be scary. Honestly, it could be.
But Tim made a great point in that somebody that has an average size penis that's confident,
right?
And you know, it was a great point about his ass, but it was somebody who has average size penis that's confident is better than a guy who's huge but not confident.
Right.
Right, Tim.
Right. Absolutely.
For me, I'm not into rights and wrongs. I'm an existentialist, so mm-hmm. I'm not really into labeling rights and wrongs or goods and bads.
We are
what we are. Whether you're, I don't see not being confident as a bad thing. I see it as just your thing. Mm-hmm. Now, if you come to me as a client, I'm a therapist, and say, "I've got problems with confidence," then we work on it. But I don't. I see everybody as perfect, just the way they are.
Right.
And if you want. Because sometimes those things, like alcoholism or drug addiction, sometimes those things, we see it as a problem. But sometimes it works for people because the next step might be suicide.
Well, let's stop right there because I don't want to get our listeners depressed. But
got me on the show.
The thing,
back
I'm
to
sorry.
Cox.
But the thing is, honestly, I mean, people have to remember, and women in particular, really should kind of mention it to their man. That I think an erection is more important than the size of your penis. I mean, yes, erectile dysfunction is treatable.
Wrong.
But, it's treatable to a certain level.
You can always sit on it, even if it's 3 inches or 4 inches.
Well, I wasn't talking about the size. I was talking about the functionality of it.
It has to be erect.
It has to be erect because otherwise, and that is, to me, I think, and to most women, more important than the actual size. And just that, you know, that the tendency of the guy to really kind of satisfy the woman, regardless of the size. I just brought this this experiment. And by the way, they tried it in Italy. And the results were not good. The actual, you know, extension of it was approximately half an inch to the erect penis. So after 6 months of use, 6 hours a day.
But it did increase a little bit.
Just a bit. Very little bit.
I would not even want to experiment in that, you know, in that area. But you're talking about erectile dysfunction.
Right.
Since I've been alive, they've come up with pills that actually work.
Yes,
I mean, for
they do
hundreds
work.
Of years, thousands of years, they've tried to figure out a solution to this problem.
Yeah.
Guys not being able to, you know, get erect.
Yes.
And now they've got drugs that work.
Right.
Of course, they have side effects.
Yes.
So you got to be careful.
Everything has a side effect.
But, exactly.
But I'll tell you what else works. Stare at a picture of Dr. L'Amour.
This guy is such an animal.
For a minute, if you don't have an erection, go see a doctor.
I had a very good friend who was very sexual and into his 60s, I think.
Yes.
He had developed impotence, and he said he tried everything. I mean, literally everything.
Yeah,
and
medically.
Sometimes when, even like Viagra, and so even looking at somebody who's very attractive to you, it's just, you think about that because
a lot
of times.
Well, it's functional. It's functional. It's a matter of blood flow and a lot of other factors. So not necessarily, and I don't know about Viagra. Usually does all these drugs do work. I don't know why it didn't work for him unless he had a heart condition.
Yeah.
But in general... there's a misconception only also about the whole idea of erection. I mean, people tend to think that it's kind of that an erection happens when you kind of, you know, clench because the penis looks like it springs into action and becomes hard. But actually, it's a result of relaxation.
Well, I'm sure you've heard this this old saying: the biggest sex organ in the human body is the brain.
No, it's the skin.
It is the skin.
But yes,
really?
Yes, the skin is the biggest sex organ because it can really be stimulated if you think about it. But the brain is big, yes, as well.
But I mean, in terms of attraction, like to your partner, there's psychological
to be
things
aroused.
Too,
right?
You know, so
yeah,
in terms
true.
Of arousal,
true.
So you're absolutely wrong, David.
Yeah, I'm wrong about most things. But...
Why are you saying?
Mark knows a few things.
David, you're nodding your head in the studio.
Jenny doesn't think I'm... Jenny's
what
saying
do you
I'm
think?
Wrong.
Let's because, have another woman in the act.
Because,
what do you think, Jenny?
Am I right or wrong?
No, what do you think? Do you think it's more important for a man to be well endowed or to know what he's doing?
I think he needs to know what he's doing.
More importantly.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter the size.
Yeah.
Because, size is less important.
Because you don't just need a penis for sexual activities.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Use your finger.
The skin is the number one sexual organ.
Well, I was just talking about this with Andy, actually. I thought it was the brain. But he worded it. I don't remember how he worded it. That
it has the most effect on sexual stimulation.
The brain does, but
right.
touch is a huge factor.
Right, and the skin is all over. I mean, that's what we have. That's the main thing. I mean, true. Hmm. Thank you, honey.
All right, thank God we got another
female
voice on the show.
In the booth there, we want to...
But it's true. No, so how do you feel about it? I mean, do you support that? I mean, did you come across women that preferred... larger penises that told you, you know?
I do. I was with a girl years ago who she told me that her previous boyfriend or one of her previous boyfriends, she only had one or two dates with him because she was not satisfied with the size of his penis.
Because it was too small or too big?
Too small.
Okay.
Too small.
Okay.
And she said it was like, she was kind of trying to describe it and it was like,
just trying to describe it?
She said that it made a weird sound when it went. It was. She said it was like a snap, crackle, and pop.
Was that really his penis?
She said that the size of his penis. And then I started to feel good about myself. It's because I never thought that. So she said, you're okay.
Yeah.
You know, you know, but.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe for some people that's an issue.
Did you want to say something?
Well, I was going to say, because you were looking at me, so I thought you were asking me the question.
Yeah, I was.
But to be honest with you, as I said, I've only had two women comment on the size of my penis, honestly, which is the one that said, you're not small.
Right.
I've had more. I've heard girthy a lot.
Okay.
But I did have one lady that I gave an amazing screaming orgasm orally to.
Very good.
Very good, but then she actually said that that the size was not sufficient.
Really, but she commented on it.
But she worked in the porn industry.
Okay. Well, so, she's used to big guns.
Apparently so.
Yes.
Which is fine. I mean, it just didn't work out, yes. But, you know, it's okay.
Well, it's also, yeah, what you get used to and what you're interested in. I really feel that this whole experiment that they did was kind of redundant because I don't think that the amount of investment that you go through is really worth the half an inch.
But I'll tell you what, if they do come out with something that's probably less complicated, or even the pill, a real pill, because I know there are pills that do this, that could increase the size of the penis, and they had, and it was studied, and it was legitimate. That would
all men would run and use it.
It would outsell Viagra.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, it's a different story.
Right, but it would be comparable to Viagra. And
have they talked about the effects of growing, of having that type of medication?
Yeah, well it's not out there. It's really
you can't wear shorts.
Yeah.
Look, there's no.
Well, they don't have this kind of medication yet, but
I thought Mark said that they were.
No, he said if they were. Right?
I'm sure people are working on it.
Yeah, no,
but
they didn't.
If they had one.
If they had one.
It would be a huge seller.
I don't think it'd be a good idea because I think then you'd have men that can't go back to their normal size and would just.
Honestly, that's what they did with this device. They tried to initiate something that kind of ended up not really being sufficient. And I think that, as I said, the investment is so big and so vast.
Yeah.
6 months past, anyway.
Because they have this stuff called Extends that's supposed to it's supposed to increase the size of your penis. Ron Jeremy does commercials for it.
Of course. But that's funny because Ron Jeremy came, you know, he brought it.
It's a huge seller.
From home.
But it's a huge seller.
Right. But you know that he was endowed with it because he gave himself, he would suck his own dick.
Did Woody?
Yes, that's what he's known for.
I saw
Tim. What did you say?
It must be watching different videos.
Yes, no, but yeah, Ron Jeremy's known for that.
Not a pretty picture, but
yes, no, not a good picture. Yes, Tim, what were you saying?
the thing that you're talking about, that experiment, there are other things out there where you're basically just, not to be funny, but you're basically just pulling it, and you're pulling it out from how it deeply it's embedded into your body, and you. That's what you do. You just pull it and squeeze it, and you can make it thicker and make it longer just by massaging it.
If that was the case, I'd have the hugest penis in the world.
It's not masturbating, right. Because with masturbating, you're not really, you're not pulling it. You're jerking it up and down, but you're not making an effort to pull it out from your body and, squeeze it.
I don't know. It sounds too tasking. And too complicated. I think guys should be happy with the size of their penis.
Hey, why not?
That's what I think.
I'm happy with the size of my penis right now.
Honestly, yes.
Yeah, but you can say that about everything. That everybody should just be.
No.
Why not?
I'm saying
not
it no because I'm saying
different.
That the functionality of that organ, specifically, if it's a confidence boost, it's a different story because you need to psychologically work on your or on this theme. On the idea of being less confident because you have a small penis, that is not really the case. I mean, it's not necessary for the functional part of having a good intercourse. And this is what this organ is used for. I'm not talking about the whole idea of siren children.
I think it's a personal thing. If you want a larger penis and you'll feel better,
it's not attainable. And I think it's just too much of a work. Let's talk about the intercourse itself. Okay. I want to talk about something. And you guys tell me, all three of you, how do you feel about it? When you have just a general encounter, do you prefer, I don't know, do you guys prefer condoms or no condoms?
I've never had sex without a condom.
Never?
Never.
Okay. I did,
even
I
with
think
someone
once
that you
or
were in
twice.
A relationship with?
That's correct.
Why?
I have never not had sex without a condom.
You've always had protected sex.
I am terrified
Even
of pregnancy.
With a partner.
Terrified of pregnancy.
You don't want to have kids.
Really?
Absolutely.
But, like, what about a woman taking any contraception?
Yeah, blowjob.
I've had sex with women that take contraception with a condom.
Really?
I am so terrified of having children and the disease factor. But
disease factor, yes. But if you are in a relationship.
But mainly children. I've been in relationships and Never taken off the condom.
Wow, so, that's impressive.
And BJ's
how about you,
too?
David?
Like,
no, a BJ, I'm sure.
No, BJ's. Okay. And conilingus, too.
Okay, without, so
no dental bands.
So I am exposed, yes. But it's the pregnancy issue that is my main concern.
That is
he doesn't want little dark marks running around.
Wow, okay,
and
David.
And thank God.
How do you feel about condom use?
I'm on totally on board with this guy because dark mark, I'm you know, it's like I don't the idea of bringing children into the world. They're like a big investment in time and trouble.
Oh my
you
god!
You know, with the braces, and then they got to go to college, and it's
and then
like,
they
and
deal
then they
with
have
the size
problems.
Of their penis.
Yeah, and then yeah, they're all worried about the size of their penises and stuff.
I know.
But I don't say that to impress anybody. As a matter of fact, people think I'm crazy. People, a lot of guys that I've told that to, and a lot of women I've told that to, are like, what?
It is different.
But
it
in this day and age.
No, you're right.
Right.
To be cautious, it's a very good factor. Not everybody's practicing safe sex. I mean, especially in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Tim?
Are you
a big condom
have
user?
General sex. I don't sleep with people that I don't know well or that I don't at least have some level of an emotional connect with.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really like empty sex. It doesn't feel nice to me.
Right.
I mean, yes, it does feel nice to a degree, but it's cold. Yeah. It's like I've said in the past, I've had that, and it was hot, but cold at the same time. And
yes.
So, and I don't like rubbers.
So you don't use them?
I only avoid using them if I know the woman can't get pregnant. And I'm okay with having children, actually. I worked with children for years.
So if you're saying that you're not using a condom, what do you do? Do you do you practice withdrawal, or do you come out of the vagina? What do you do? What is your practice?
I come anywhere she wants me
okay,
to come.
But not inside the vagina.
Yeah,
do
sure.
You? Okay. Mm. Okay.
If she likes that more.
Because they kind of...
less messy.
It is less messy for you, maybe.
Yeah, well, she's got to go
it's
to the
less
bathroom
messy for you. To
let out that puddle.
The puddle, yes.
Well, this
that she sits in. But the thing is, yes, David, what did you want to say?
This one girl I was with said she would prefer that I didn't use a condom.
Yeah.
And so I finished inside of her. And and then some a friend of mine gave me a...
I'm laughing already.
Yeah, he gave me like a hash brownie or something, and I got all paranoid, and I'm like, she wants my kid.
She's stealing my sperm.
Yeah, she's gonna have a kid.
Yes.
And then I'm gonna be a dad.
I've had women say that too. I've had women say, I'm on protection. Can we do it without a condom? And I said, no.
And you would not.
No, but okay. it wasn't a big argument. But it was just like I just prefer to do it like this. And,
very smart.
Okay, it is very smart and not common. Very uncommon. I just want to... Yeah?
I think it's way smarter to be that safe.
No, it is.
I've never worked well with condoms. It disrupts.
I actually made a recent switch from Trojan Ends to the Thinsulate.
Oh.
I like
really?
The thinner condoms.
It is? It's better?
Nice. They're nice, yeah.
Yeah? Well, the thing is, they found that the withdrawal, the coitus interruptus method, is working just as well as condoms when it comes to not siring children. I'm not talking about STDs.
Mm-hmm.
But the percentages were remarkably close.
Wow.
For with condoms, it was about 18%, 17% failure.
Wow.
And with coitus interruptus, it was 17%. It was 17%.
I didn't know it was that high with condoms.
Yes, it is
really?
That high.
Wow.
Yes. And so it's very surprising that overall, we're not talking about, again, you're talking about the whole idea of being careful in terms of STDs as well. But if you are concerned about having kids or not having kids and avoiding, getting anybody pregnant, it does show that the whole idea of coitus interruptus is actually of withdrawal is actually working just as well.
Is that right? Well, I guess I could see that. But there's something, called pre-cum, which is, it's a real thing.
I'm talking about the whole cum, not the pre-cum.
But
there's always a little in there. You can't
right.
ever...
But this is the same percentages of a condom.
Oh.
That's very interesting.
I've
never had any luck with condoms.
Obviously, you're not really using them.
It depends on my partner.
Okay. So like you're talking both genders?
Okay, all right. Here's a story. I had a partner, a male partner.
Yes.
And he was large. And he...
Of course, he was.
He used to fuck with... He used to fuck bareback, and he would get urinary tract infections. So, with me... Yeah, he was getting it from the shit. And so with me,
yes.
How romantic.
I
met him.
I honestly didn't know that men could get UTIs.
Of course you can
get fucked up bad from
UTI. You have a urethra, you can get UTI. Yes, what?
You can get messed up bad from anal sex because it can go up into your penis.
Right.
Shit.
Yes.
He was never in me without a condom.
Okay.
And
so with men, you wouldn't practice unsafe sex, only with women?
No, okay. It depends. It depends on the men. If I know them enough, if I know their background, if I really know them and really trust them.
Okay.
Would you fuck a woman in the ass without a condom?
Would you have anal sex
with a
woman?
He would have to know the woman, I suppose.
Not somebody I just met at a bar or on Craigslist or something like that. The woman that I'm dating... The woman that I care for and love, who I know her history, maybe, because that's the other part of it. You know, you're not really clean. Unless you do an enema or a douche, she's still going to have stuff, and
regardless,
I feel funny about
you
that.
Still have stuff. I mean, that's the place for it.
Dr. Lamour, can I ask you a touch question?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
This is off topic, but I want to get this in before the show ends.
Yes.
Okay. So, I last night... And as I said, I was talking about, I was with this woman.
Yes.
And she's never had a man give her an orgasm.
Okay.
Now, here's the
Anything. Okay.
So I said, I want you to show me.
How?
And so she masturbated, and I was kissing her. I was caressing her.
So she was masturbating or taking your hand to do it? Or
no, she was doing
hers.
She was using hers. However, I was touching her all over the body. I was kissing her all over the body.
Yeah.
Kissing her and you know, playing with the breasts and... You know, all that. So, yeah, it worked, but it took a long time.
Of course.
But it was really good. And here's the thing that I've noticed.
Yes.
Using the hand, guys and women use their hands differently.
Oh, very true.
And this is not the first time I've seen this, woman masturbate. Because I used, and people have complimented me on my techniques with the fingers.
Yes.
But I just don't have that jackhammer technique that women have with their vaginas. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
How do I develop that?
Well, I think it's practice.
You ever see a woman masturbate? It's like a jackhammer sometimes.
The reason is...
I understand that. Yeah, I've done that, but women can do it a lot better.
Honestly, it takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of... because you get tired.
Right.
Honestly, it's very hard to maintain. And I suggest, because it's much easier to begin with, in a while after you learn, you know, the ins and outs of the woman's body...
So to speak.
Specifically, yes, pun intended... You can stop using that, but I prefer, and I think that most women should suggest to their partners to use some sort of a clitoral stimulator,
like a little vibrator.
Something small, not penetrative, something that is just used on the clit, because as soon as you get her close to it,
a pocket rocket. That's what they call.
Well, I specifically the pocket rocket, whatever, is lame.
Really?
I find, and it's really not usable. The rabbit is pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah, there are many new ones even out there. The smaller, the better. There's even one that kind of slits on your finger, and you can really just put it on, and it's really kind of gentle and rubbery, and it's
nice. That's a good suggestion,
right?
Because I wouldn't be the first one to do it.
No, but
I want you to help me.
Yes, no, but I think that's the best way.
With the girl I'm having sex with now.
Yeah.
All right.
What I suggest is the next time you see each other, you should be accompanied by something like that. And I think I think that once you get her to climax with that, then if you can continue with your finger, she's going to multi-climax via your finger.
Right.
So the first time you'll get her off with this, and then you can continue with your finger, and that will...
Because obviously, if it hasn't happened with any man,
promised land.
There's some sort of mental thing, too.
Yeah.
So getting her off with the vibrator will eliminate that mental block.
Yes.
And that, you know, no man's ever got me off. And then we can really...
Right. And then you can use yourself or your fingers because she'll be, after a woman climaxes once, second, third, whatever, 10th time is by far easier to reach.
I remember.
She's already, you know, yeah, she's there.
I know that's the right person. Yes, thank you.
Yes. No, so that is definitely, and I suggest even for you guys to go together and pick that up.
Sure.
Okay. Me and Mark? I'm not.
Because the woman might know, you know, for instance, I said that the Rocket Pocket is not usable.
Really?
And then I don't like it.
Well, you mean I don't want to name a name brand, but they have the things that you put on the finger to vibrate.
Right, right.
That's what they suggest.
I suggest a smaller, one right. that you really put on your finger. Because also it's very gentle to the touch, and it's also very easy to maneuver. You don't have to hold it because it's
on your finger.
Dresses on your finger.
I'm not flipping you up, but it's on your finger.
No, but it really is. Yeah, so it's the easiest. Mm-hmm. And then I think,
Do you put that on the clit or below?
No, you put it on your finger, and then you put it, and then you play with it all over.
Right.
You just move it around.
Because she doesn't like direct. She likes indirect stimulation.
I think although that's a good suggestion. I feel
Jenny
like having stimuli like that it would cause like a desensitization. And I think for the girl that you went out with is that she's gotten herself off with toys and not with actual people. So
No, she hasn't.
Never. With anything.
Not that I'm aware. We didn't get that far into it.
Not with toys.
But she says,
I want to say something about
it. I guess for my...
desensitization. To me, look, on my end, professionally, it's a myth. Because there are women that get desensitized. But I think that mostly these women are either didn't spend enough time trying to pleasuring themselves regardless of the use of toys.
Their libido was not...
And also... I think it's mostly a myth that women get attached to a vibrator and then they cannot come regularly. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a lot in the practice and a lot in the connection with the partner. But in terms of clitoral stimulation, because it's really, as Mark said, the jackhammer, it's really hard to kind of pinpoint that little clit, you know, good enough. Some women come really easily from clitoral stimulation. Others, it takes a long fucking while.
Right.
Hour. It can be an hour. Honestly, it can be an hour.
Yeah, and I think it has to do with how Mark is saying mentally, too.
Oh, of course.
Because, like, a girl, like, you have to feel, even for a guy, you know, you have to be in the moment. You can't have thoughts running through your mind.
Right.
And, of course.
Shut off the phones.
Of course, you know, it's the first time. Well, I don't know if it was the first time
First time last night, yeah.
Yeah, so it was one of those things.
You need to get to know each other, but I do
I think that's what it is. Because
right,
then,
the connection.
Yeah,
I agree.
And communicating and knowing what works for your partner and what doesn't work. Because at the same time, too, the girl might not know, okay, yeah, I've used a toy to stimulate myself there before, but obviously a finger is different, and so I'm gonna talk to him and say, you know, this works out better, this feels better,
right?
You know, so there's a lot of factors to it.
Of course.
But Jenny's making a good point, but I think your point was good in that start with the vibrator,
right?
And then use your own finger.
From that point, once, first of all, the body, especially the female body, has a tendency to register things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that goes both ways.
Right.
If a woman doesn't climax again and again with a certain person, or doesn't climax on her own, she kind of, if you don't use it, you lose it. It's kind of that bad.
Right.
So if you, and if a woman learns to stimulate herself a certain way, and especially get attached to someone that knows how to do it, so after the first time that you'll get her there, she's just going to keep on climaxing, especially if
that's
she's
gonna
able.
That's going to get through the mental block.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think you should definitely try and go together and pick up something that you both think is not too intimidating.
Makes sense.
Right.
Get rid of her.
Find another girl. She's
that knows how to climax.
This guy, Tim, he's got some wisdom.
All right,
get a girl that comes in.
I will.
you know, Tim.
You don't even like her that much yet.
He likes her.
Are you really that attached?
You can like someone else that comes easy.
Honestly, women don't come easy.
I actually like the challenge.
Yes. No, but it's true. The challenge is good.
Yeah, when your jaw is on fire and your tongue is
trust me, my jaw and tongue were a little out of practice last night. So, yeah, it was good. It was good. I'm still getting it back into place. So,
you were talking about distractions. I was going down on my girlfriend recently,
yes.
And the dog was barking. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, the dog. Yeah,
he's a C blocker.
I just want to say.
That close. And right. Then the dog starts barking.
You lost it. The thing is, and I'm going to sum up nice show with that. And I just want to say, yeah, it was just, did you climax? I just want to say that it's very funny because both genders have their issues. And while men are very easy on getting an erection, they're very easy on losing it. And then
women,
as I said, men are easier on getting an erection and then losing it. But women, once they get stimulated and
really?
They're hot, they're going to get to that climax. They're going to get to fruition.
Better.
So I just want to say thank you, Tim, for being with us. And thank you, Tim. And thank you, Dark Mark. And I
thank
say
you,
again, when your show is on.
Oh, Dark,
thank you, Dr. Blockman, for having us.
Yes. Thanks for interrupting my plug. Every week on Thursday night here on SkidRowStudios.com, The Dark Mark Show. This week is the one-year anniversary of The Dark Mark Show.
That would be amazing.
My special guest, G. Tom Mack, will be in the studio, who's going to be singing Cry Little Sister from the Dallas Boys soundtrack.
That's amazing.
Live in studio. We're going to have a magician, and we're going to have Sin Fisted, who I know you've seen on the show.
Of course.
And what she can do with her body. So it's going to be great. And follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Goth Comedian. And Dr. Lamour, we would love to have you on again anytime.
I'll come. I'll be very happy to come. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I'll see you next time. I'm Dr. Lamour Blockman. Bye.
Thanks.